Welcome once again to Two Larrys and a Mike. I'm Larry Doughty.
Larry Bly here.
And Mike, just when you thought that Mike was on track to call a plumber, the entrepreneur in him comes out with a... Ready? 12 o'clock flush whistle.
Excuse me, what is this about?
Well, remember the 12 o'clock whistle that used to blow in downtown Roanoke?
I lived with it for 40 years.
Yeah, well, it would blow at 12, and it would blow again at 12:30, which I guess meant we need to be back to work.
I'll explain all that in a minute,
well,
but go ahead.
We haven't had that whistle in a long time.
I think it blew again at 5 o'clock, by the way.
Well, I don't know. I was never in downtown at that time.
I can assure you.
But Mike has decided, being the entrepreneur that he is, that he will, instead of calling a plumber to fix the problem we have in the little boy's room, he's going to use that as the flush 12 o'clock whistle.
I hope it's amplified, because only we can hear it here. To explain further, ladies and gentlemen, I have a bathroom here at the facility, a facility here at the bathroom, and something has happened to the commode. And it's been this way for what, Larry? What, 6 months?
At least, yes.
So when you flush it, it makes that irritating screech or noise or whatever it is. It goes on for like 45 seconds.
Right.
You need to get out of there. It'll drive you nuts. And
but think of this.
I need to have it fixed.
Mike could amplify it outside.
Well, it is true.
Yeah, and everyone would think the 12 o'clock whistle is back.
Well, let's explain the 12 o'clock whistle.
Okay.
For those people who are not from Star City.
What? There's a story behind this, besides the fact it's a whistle?
Well, we were once a railroad town back in 1883. You got to go all the way back.
Wow.
Norfolk and Western created their East End shops, which, by the way, are only about 4 blocks from here. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I got to hear it.
In fact, my grandfather worked there.
Is that so?
Yeah.
So they built and maintained locomotives there. And they installed a steam-powered whistle that could be heard across most of Roanoke. Apparently, people couldn't afford watches or clocks back then, nor remember where they worked, by the way. So they created this whistle. Thus, the creation of what has been dubbed Old Gabriel, which I didn't know all the years I've been down here.
I never knew it had a name.
As in, Gabriel, blow your horn.
Oh, okay.
Well, the thing would beckon workers at 9 a.m. to come in and make some trains. And it blew again at noon, make some lunch, and 12:30, come back, and then at 5 o'clock, quitting time. Honest to goodness, it did this every day, Monday through Friday. Didn't do it on weekends, by the way. The thing was several horns, actually, so it sounded more like a cruise ship horn than a train whistle. Described by one expert as an inverted D major seventh chord, an F sharp, and an A major chord descending.
I knew that.
Who knew it could be so complicated? Well, anyway, when Norfolk Southern closed the shops just a few blocks from here some years back, the steam used for blowing the horn went away as well. And so it went silent. Frankly, I spent so many years hearing the daggone thing every day downtown that I didn't even realize it was gone for the longest period of time.
Yeah.
So anyway, recently some people started kicking up some dust about trying to bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
Why? How? I have no idea. It has no power to it.
Probably because they were late going to lunch or late coming back.
And it's not the kind of thing you'll install in your backyard, by the way. You blow your neighbors away. So I'm thinking that maybe NS might consider just giving the thing to the Transportation Museum for display only. And that's the story of Old Gabriel.
Well, when all else fails, just give it to the Transportation Museum. Is that how we got that rocket?
Yes, right.
Okay.
A lot of disparate things. Anyway.
My hat's off to Mike for thinking outside the box.
By the way, I didn't tell you this, Larry.
Oh.
I'm heading up the Shenandoah Valley to meet my old WHBG radio buddies tomorrow, Mark Wilson and Joe Price, for lunch in Stanton. We're all that's left of a core group of DJs from the 1960s. We're all that's standing. So tomorrow we'll be sitting and having lunch together, breaking bread.
Oh, that'll be fun.
And then I'm heading up to Strasburg, where my good friend and high school buddy John Horan and I will co-host the 55th high school reunion for the class of 66 Strasburg High School. I once asked the reunion chairperson what I'd have to do to get out of this gig, and she said, you know what you'd have to do. Well, Larry, I guess it's not worth dying over. So. We're stuck with this.
The sad thing was, I was thinking, kick it.
Yeah. So I guess I'm stuck. I guess it's best that I still have the game.
I'm sure you will do a wonderful job, and I'm pretty certain there are going to be some great memories of WHPG.
Oh, I think so,
At lunch or whatever.
Not to mention some great Cracker Barrel food.
Well, there you go.
Oh, it's birthday time.
Oh, is it that time already?
It is already.
Okay.
Go right on ahead, Mr.
From the Beach Boys, Sal Jardine is 80.
Wow. That doesn't seem possible.
No, it doesn't.
That doesn't even seem legal that a Beach Boy could be 80. Does it really?
Of that famous group, Mark, Don, and Mel, Grand Funk.
Are they starting all over again?
No. Well, I don't guess. Well, they might as well.
Wasn't that the name of their head?
Donald Brewer, 74. They had so many. Steve Jones of the Sex Pistols, 67. Van Morrison, turning 77. You got a few?
I do. Archie Bell and the Drells. Well, not just Archie, not the Drells. I mean, they didn't always go together.
Now, was he from Houston, Texas?
Houston, Texas. Okay. And not only can he sing, but he can dance as well as he can walk. He's 78 years old. Barry Gibb of the Bee Gees is 76. And if you haven't seen it, there's a wonderful documentary on Netflix called How Do You Mend a Broken Heart?
Great.
Their story, and it's fabulous. It's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Drummer Greg Errico of Sly and the Family Stone is 74. And we'll be talking about families here in a couple of minutes.
Yes,
musical families. Singer Gloria Estevan is 65 and still going at it, baby. You got another one?
She missed Miami, I think.
I guess so.
Yeah. Tony DeFranco, speaking of the DeFranco family.
Didn't they make spaghetti? Canned spaghetti? DeFranco family spaghetti.
Tony, 63. Valerie Simpson of Ashford and Simpson, 77.
Famous songwriters and singers.
Oh, yeah.
He died a few years ago, but she's still kicking.
Bob Cousill of the Cousill family. Is everyone having a birthday on our podcast episode this week? It seems like it, doesn't it?
He's going to sing until the cow sills come home.
73. You have a few more?
I do. Sonny Rollins is 92. He's a jazz saxophonist, in case you didn't know. Singer Gloria Gaynor is 79. Singer Alpha Anderson of Chic is 76. Keyboardist Ben Mont Tench of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, 69. And pianist Michael Feinstein. He's been to Roanoke a few times. You ever seen him?
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
66. Q99 always brought him in. I think they had him on a payroll. I think they brought him here so often. And finally, singer Margot Chapman of the Starland Vocal Band is 65. And as you know, and I've told you 150,000 times, they wrote the song in the back room of the Clyde's of Georgetown bar and restaurant. And the gold record is still back there on the wall. I checked it out the last time I was up there.
For real?
Well, of course.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Isn't that nice that they shared that with,
Well, that's true. That's true.
So today we're doing families of music and their hits.
Yes.
Tell us about it, Mr. D.
Are you ready to dive into this?
No.
Let's do it.
Okay.
In the open, everything from Family Affair, Sly and the Family Stone, which seemed kind of appropriate to episode 49, to Lola by the Kinks, to Love Somebody from the Bee Gees, Yes, She Can from the Pointer Sisters. I love that song. Respect Yourself, Staple Singers, Groovin' from the Young Rascals. See, I get confused when they went from Young Rascals to just Rascals.
But let me ask you something.
Okay, go.
So, what's family about the Rascals?
I'm looking at my notes. There are brothers in the group.
So,
well, they're family.
Excuse me, I just snorted on the microphone. Let me wipe that off. Anyway,
that's what
a bit of a stretch there, Mr. D. Don't you think?
No. They're family. The Brigatti brothers, Eddie and David Brigatti.
Weren't they a famous tumbling group? Stop in the it. Ringling Brothers? Of course, we had the Ronettes, two sisters and a cousin, Ronnie Spector, Veronica Bennett, the older sister Estelle Bennett, mm-hmm. and cousin Nedra Talley. That truly was the Ronettes. Were truly a family group, that's for sure. And of course, from New Orleans, mm-hmm. we have the Neville brothers, specifically Aaron Neville. Yep. Tell it like it is.
Yeah.
Remember
that song? Yeah, that's true.
And as you said, Kyle Sills, mm-hmm. you know, Indian Lake, they were the real thing.
And they were the real thing. And I did not realize this, but the Cow Sills were the ones that they looked at for the idea of the Partridge Family.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
Also, speaking of the Partridge Family, mm-hmm. they were neither family nor partridges, ladies and gentlemen. They weren't either one.
Well, wasn't...
But they were called...
But David Cassidy and Mama Partridge, Shirley Jones, were related.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so that one passes pretty good. The Allman Brothers Band, of course, the very famous Duane and Greg mm-hmm. Allman.
So. You know, now the kids have started a group. I think it's the Allman Betts Group. Okay. As in Dickie Betts and the Allman Brothers. Yeah.
The Cyrus Family. Billy Ray, Miley, and Noah. How about that? That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Hanson. I don't remember the brothers Hanson from the 90s. What'd they do?
Oh, they're still Oom-Bop.
Oom-Bop?
Yeah.
Do you have indigestion? What's wrong with you?
For the longest time, I didn't think that song would ever go away, but the Hanson brothers, they've grown up now.
How did I miss it? I listened to K92.
Late 90s.
Oh, okay.
Late 90s, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. AC/DC, I didn't realize. Malcolm and Angus Young mm-hmm. brothers.
You got Van Halen.
Which one was AC and which one was DC? Go ahead. I'm sorry. Feeling silly.
Van Halen, Alex and Eddie Van Halen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even though you don't have a total group like you would with, say, the Pointer Sisters,
mm-hmm.
you know, there you get the sisters and what have you, and they would shift around. Oh, and another one that you love these girls or women, the Mandrell Sisters.
Oh, yes, mm-hmm. Mr. Barbara Mandible and her sister. What's her sister's name?
You got
Eunice?
Louise
Eunice?
And Earlene. Earlene was the drummer, I think.
I think it's probably the cold medicine I'm taking.
You think that's it?
Do you remember the Emotions?
I do,
Well, yes. They were originally a gospel group known as the Hutchinson Sunbeams. Well, thank heavens they changed that name. Wanda Hutchinson Vaughn, uh-huh. Sheila Hutchinson Witt. Past members include Pamela Hutchinson and Jeanette Hutchinson Hawks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got a couple of easy ones here. Right. Osmonds.
Oh, yes.
That's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, for many, if your last name wasn't Osmond, you probably felt left out there in Utah.
I sort of felt left out.
Okay. Well, yeah. I get that.
All I got to do is play them over and over and over again.
Carpenters. Karen and Richard.
Karen and Richard. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
How about the Everly Brothers?
Phil and
Don.
Yeah, yep. Terrific.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Gap Band, which is, I didn't realize this, three brothers, Charlie, Ronnie, and Robert Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
The group was named after streets, Greenwood, Archer, and Pine, in the Greenwood neighborhood in the brothers' hometown of Tulsa, Oklahoma.
I don't think I was aware of that.
No.
How about Heart? That group from Seattle. Anna and Nancy.
And, you know, they're touring separately these days.
Really?
I don't know why that is, but they both are touring, but they're touring separately. I guess they just decided to do something a little different.
Well.
They got tired of singing those songs, although they had, Heart just had some of the best music.
Oh, they did.
They really did.
I always had the biggest crush on Nancy.
Did you
Man,
really?
She could play a guitar.
Well, she always spoke well of you.
Well.
The DeBarge family, remember them? And by the way, they had nothing to do with barges. The group consisted of L, Mark, Randy, and Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
James joined a group a year later for their second album. Bobby and Chico joined, and what, 500 of them?
Just about.
In 1987 and 88, respectively, replacing Bunny and L. I don't know why they replaced them. I guess they weren't family enough.
No, I don't know. Maybe they just pulled them in on the street. I don't know. We mentioned in the birthdays, one of the members of the DeFranco family, Tony, and four siblings. The group, they were actually from Ontario, Canada, had a number of hits between 73 and 77, but their biggest, and this is the only one I remember them ever doing, Heartbeat, It's a Love Beat.
Oh, I remember that. I played it. Dickens, all that thing. Hey, the Statler brothers from Stanton, Virginia, our very own Statler brothers. There were only two of them who were actually brothers. It was Don Reed and Harold Reed.
Yep.
And all the rest of them were just, you know, other people. But they were, none of them were Statlers, however. Did you ever think about that?
No, I didn't.
They were named after the tissues. Statler tissues, I think. I read something one time. Yeah, that's came up.
Yeah, that just never occurred to me. But you know, as you say, the Reeds, the Reed brothers.
Yeah,
I'm thinking, wait a minute, Gladys Knight and Statler Reed.
Yeah, Gladys Knight to Pips. Hmm? Of course, she the Pips included her brother Bubba Knight and cousins William Guest and Edward Patton. Of course, she dumped them years ago. She was here in Roanoke last year, and she never even mentioned the Pips. I mean, nothing.
Huh.
She did a solo show.
Did we mention the Bee Gees here?
No.
Barry, Robin, and Morris, and let's not leave out Andy.
Oh, yeah.
Which, watching that documentary that you mentioned earlier, How Do You Mend a Broken Heart, they actually talk about in there that they were about to ask Andy to join them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if...
Of course, Andy already.
I don't know if it was in the group or just joined them on the road. I think it was just on the road.
Of course, Andy had already had a tremendous solo career.
Yeah,
I mean, he was a big hit on his own. He didn't need them, and they didn't need him.
Yeah.
So, but it was nice they were going. You're right. They were going to ask him, but unfortunately, he met his demise way too early in life.
Absolutely,
The Isley Brothers. You mentioned them?
Oh no, but I do love them so much.
Started as a trio consisting of brothers O'Kelly. Isley Jr., Rudolph and Ronald Isley in the 1950s. They go all the way back to the 50s. The fourth brother, Vernon, later joined them until his death. Oh, that's very sad.
Oh, yeah. Yes, indeed.
He didn't last too long. The group killed him. How about Naomi and Winona?
I love those Judds.
The Judds. Yeah. And unfortunately, we lost one of them recently. Yeah. Mama Judd.
Naomi Judd passed away.
She'd be gone.
Yep.
And you did mention, the Von Trapp family. I wish I'd have caught that. You know there'd have been an audio track here.
I was wondering if you were going to catch that.
No, I didn't. Doggone it. I need to study this thing more going into this podcast. You know, I never.
Now, they date back to 1943.
I never like to miss an opportunity to do something with the sound of mucus.
Music.
Music. That's right. I always get that wrong. The Von Trapp family. Wonder how. I think there were about five or six of them, as I recall. It was a big family.
It was. You know, it could have been the Von Trapp family versus either the Jacksons or the Osmonds.
No, it couldn't have been.
No,
it couldn't have been.
So anyway, there are just a few that we wanted to draw mention to in our families of music.
Just fun with families.
And
in case
hits.
You thought you couldn't have fun with families,
well,
we've proven that you can.
Now, there you go. So we're not doing seconds guessing this time, right?
Oh, you wish we weren't doing seconds guessing,
you know,
Mr. D.
Let me just say, from the last time when we were doing 1972.
Ouch. Go ahead.
When we were doing 1972, I didn't think I was going to do as well as I did.
You did great.
I know, but I don't know what to do with the prize that I won.
I can't remember what
that would be. A Buck Owens mother's singing lessons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My friend John Mike Elder says, "Where in the world did you get that?"
I said, "My wife said the same thing." John Mike,
you know me; I got all sorts of stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. So anyway, are you ready for this?
Well, I believe so.
Okay, so first of all, before we get into it, we have to talk about what you win this time.
Okay,
and what you win is this old but still working oscilloscope. from the engineering department of some radio station somewhere.
Oh, boy.
You know, they used to use the oscilloscope to look at audio wave signals to make sure there was no or little distortion in the audio signal.
All right.
Now, you, Mr. Dowdy, can have one for your home. Amuse friends for hours. Run this when Glenna bends over. Make it do silly sounds when someone comes in the room. Just hundreds of uses, ladies and gentlemen, for the oscilloscope. I mean, when's the last time you had a good oscilloscope?
Well, it was probably back in 1979 into 1980. You're going, how did he do that? actually, we had to use one at K92.
Is that so?
To test all of the music cartridges that we had just wound and then erased to make sure there wasn't a flutter on the tape.
A tape flutter.
Yeah. So we'd run everything through there and see if there was anything.
So you spent a goodly amount of time listening to oscilloscopes.
Which is why I turned out the way I did today.
Looking at them, right? Okay, well, let's get ready to go here, boys and girls.
I'm real excited about maybe getting my hands on another one.
Strap yourself in. This is all family stuff now.
Okay, family.
Easy peasy.
Well, another group would be the Beach Boys.
Yep.
I remember that song.
Obscure cut.
Heroes and Villains?
You got it. Man, you pulled it out at the last minute. I can't believe it.
Loneliness. Okay, this is a guess. Sun Ain't Gonna Shine Anymore?
That's it. The Walker Brothers. That's a tough one.
That was next.
When
did
I get that one?
Always like this. I know I stand in line until you think you have the time to spend an evening with me.
Come on, it's easy.
Frank Sinatra, Nancy Sinatra,
right?
And something stupid.
And it certainly was. It was a big hit, though. I loved it.
I keep hearing you're concerned about my happiness. I love this song. Sandler Brothers.
Yep.
And Flowers on the Wall.
Yep.
But you and your friends are worried about me.
I have lots of fun counting flowers on the wall. Okay, you got that one.
I love that.
Here we go. For once, I gave you the intro.
I think I love you.
Oh, well, thank you, Larry. I didn't know you cared. And who would that be?
That would be the Partridge Family.
Yes, indeed. Yes, Paul Partridge, Paula Partridge, Piggy Partridge. There's another one.
Not that family.
Yeah, that family. Okay, come on. Come on. I gave you the openings. Can you believe this?
What were you thinking?
That's all you ever heard.
Magic Man and Heart.
The Wilson Sisters. Okay. Ooh, isn't that mighty
much? What a great song, too.
I just had to let that one run.
I appreciate that.
All right, you got that one, Magic Man, Wilson Sisters, Heart.
Okay.
I can't believe this. I'm giving you all of these intros.
This would be hot fun in the summertime. Sly and the Family Stone.
Hit it. End of the spring,
and here she comes. Great song, too.
Yeah, you got a hot fun in the summertime, Sly and the Family Stone.
Okay. Somewhere there's music, oh.
Somewhere there's music. You're going to have to sneak something in there. There is no moon
above a lover's heart. Till it comes true. I have no idea.
Les Paul and Mary Ford, his wife, How High the Moon.
Never close your eyes.
You've lost that loving feeling.
Yeah, who's that?
Baby. The Righteous Brothers.
Who actually were not brothers at all.
No.
They were brothers in name only, ladies and gentlemen. Didn't seem to make any difference in big hit record.
Yeah, anyway. There you
okay.
go.
Here we go. Here's one of your favorite groups. I know you're getting moist when you hear this. I can tell you, baby.
Johnny. He'll be the higher voice that comes in here, maybe. That would be One Bad Apple and the Osmonds.
You got it.
Okay. Can I go with you? Which way are you going, Billy? Poppy family.
Absolutely.
Were they actually a family? Or
no, they planted poppies. I can't say. Oh, look at this, Lair. This is really interesting.
What's that?
Blue Puss has got on a step back here watching us do our podcast. We have a cat here.
Hey, Blue.
We have a cat here that we call Blue Puss. And he's just sort of the outdoor cat. He comes around. I feed it every day. And it's unusual. We see it on the back stoop. Well, he's gotten bored. He's gotten bored with us.
Yeah, either that or he's embarrassed that we're even talking about him.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Actually, he's looking a little cranky. Did you feed him this morning?
I don't know whether he did or not. That's interesting. Maybe that's why he's grouchy. I don't know. I have no idea.
Blue, we'll be right with you. Okay. We have some obits to get to this morning.
We do.
Obits. And then, believe it or not, even though this is about music and everything, we got, it is still going to be about music. We got a TV classic to talk about. We'll get to that in just a couple of minutes. But you say a couple of local, or at least one local obit.
Yeah, this is one I didn't know anything about until it showed up recently in the paper.
Yeah.
You remember the paper, don't you?
Barely, but yes.
Lynchburg.
Was that when it was a quarter?
Mm-mm, yeah, I think it's up to about $2.75 each now. I just paid $700 for a whole year of delivery. That's true. I did. Next year, I got to take out a loan. Lynchburg-born jazz producer Creed Taylor has died. He worked with John Coltrane, Ray Charles, and Quincy Jones. I didn't even know about this
Big
guy.
Big names.
Prolific and innovative force in the evolution of jazz, who worked with John Coltrane, Ray Charles, and many others, and a popularizer of Brazilian music, who oversaw the recording of such classics as The Girl from Ipanema.
I love that song.
I can't think.
Ipanema.
Yeah. I always called it The Girl with Emphysema. that helped make bossa nova a worldwide phenomenon. And it actually included...
So he blamed it on the bossa nova?
Yeah, he did.
Okay, all right.
Including her vocal on The Girl from Ipanema was an afterthought by Stan Taylor, this guy that just died.
Mm-hmm.
No female vocal had been planned on this song at all. He said, I didn't even know who she was until... I was introduced to her at the session.
Hmm.
She was just sitting in watching her husband, Getz Gilberto.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I think at the time Jobim and whoever have been against her singing altogether. So she just viewed simply as his wife and not a trained singer. Anyway, Stan treated a lot of people not well, he said. But anyway, she sang it, and it became, because of her deadpan way of doing it, it was perfect for that song, girl.
Huh.
Yeah, so... Stan treated a lot of people not well, he said, of the troubled and unpredictable Getz, who died in 1991. But there was no tension in the studio that day whatsoever. At the end of the session, Stan said, Astrid, you're going to be famous. Talk about an understatement.
Yeah.
Made a huge
and
hit.
Is it true that this Creed Taylor was born in Lynchburg?
And he went on to actually start several jazz labels, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Wow.
In 67, Taylor launched CTI, initially in partnership with A&M Records, then an independent company, and he released albums ranging from Freddie Hubbard's Soul Jazz Red Clay to George Benson's commercial breakthrough, and went on to start several things. Taylor struggled after the mid-70s, especially after a distribution deal with Motown ended.
Yeah.
He filed for bankruptcy. He did resurrect the label in the late 80s and some success with Larry Coryell's Fallen Angel album. More recently, he presided over the reissue of dozens of CTI albums, including re-releases by Benson, Ron Carter, and Esther Phillips. So he was pretty big in the...
Man, I was listening to some George Benson the other day. I love his song, Breezin'.
No, that's a great song.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we had a recent death that saddened me very much.
Oh.
I heard about this on, I think it was Pat St. John on the 60s blah blah station, whatever they're calling it today. I finally found it. It's, I think, channel 72.
It's not
72.
On 6 anymore, right?
No, it's channel 72.
Okay.
How much sense does that make?
Yeah.
Anyway, Mabel John has died at the age of 91. She was the first ever female solo singer hired by Motown Records, the very first one.
Wow.
But she never had a hit there, and mostly she backed up the girl groups at Motown.
Huh.
In fact, she became a backup singer full-time. She left Motown in the mid-60s and joined Stax Records of Memphis, Tennessee, where she recorded her only hit called "Your Good Thing Is About to Come to an End."
Look out, your good thing is about to come to an end.
In other words, I've had it with you, baby. I'm out of here.
Stamping your bus pass.
Great song. Listen to that. Listen to that brass.
It's about to come to an end.
Number 6 on the charts it reached.
All those nights I watched the four walls.
And by the way, there's probably Booker T playing the piano in the background.
I have to watch them all alone.
Didn't she great?
Man,
oh, she's fabulous.
Never heard anything by her before.
Well, this was a big hit for her. Number 6 on the Billboard charts. So anyway, most of her career was spent as a backup singer, and she was one of several women featured on the Netflix documentary years ago, 20 Feet from Stardom.
Okay.
She was one of the gals that was featured on
that. Okay,
okay. Oh, and she was one of the original Raylettes who backed up Ray Charles, both on recordings and in concert. So she was a good friend and collaborator of Ray Charles. He was very much respected and loved her. So anyway, Mabel John, 91 years old.
Great
story. So sorry that she's gone. She lived a great life. She was a great humanitarian, gave a lot of money to a lot of different people and groups and what have you. She truly is a wonderful lady.
Now, you have a TV classic to mention, but at the same time, this TV classic also found a home on radio, at least the theme to the classic.
It certainly did. I never heard this version.
Through early morning fog I see visions of the things to be, the pains that are withheld.
And of course, the show is MASH.
Did you know this theme song did have a name?
No.
Did you know that?
Suicide Spanish.
That's it.
So anyway,
Al DeLore did the theme.
Al DeLore?
Al DeLore.
Al DeLore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about it. Robert Altman took a book called MASH, a novella about three army doctors. That was the title of the book.
Okay.
And wrote a screenplay for a movie in 1970.
Okay.
Strangely, I saw the movie myself at an Army Air Force theater on base in Seoul, Korea, of all places. We were all knocked out with it and totally surprised that the military, not known for its sense of humor, even allowed us to see this movie in one of those theaters. We thought it was just the greatest thing in the world. Because goodness knows many of us in the military with thumb our noses at authority the whole time we were in there. The TV show followed 2 years later, 1972, on CBS. The show didn't initially catch on with viewers, but was immediately claimed a critical success, eventually receiving 109 Emmy nominations and 14 wins. A brilliant mashup of comedy, drama, with a great cast of characters. Corporal Klinger, the dress-wearing GI on the show, actually served in the Army in Korea. I'm not sure during the Korean War. I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Actors were not allowed. Oh, here's something fascinating. Actors were not allowed to wear combat boots with their other authentic Army attire on the show because, why do you think?
I don't know.
A loud clunking of the footsteps would ruin the audio. So the cast was required to don sneakers, and they didn't show their feet very often. The only time they wore combat boots is if they like put their feet up on a desk or something.
Yeah.
But they weren't allowed to clump around.
Okay.
Some actors, like the original nurse Hot Lips Houlihan, didn't make the cut to TV or had other projects that prevented them from doing it. Hawkeye, Alan Alda, who I don't think was in the movie, came on board for the TV show and racked up 25 Emmy nominations for acting, writing, and directing. And even Ron Howard appeared on the show once in a minor role. I had an article done on me, by the way, in the Valley, Shenandoah Valley, many years ago, and a young reporter who didn't know her hat from a hamburger went on to say that I was a veteran of the Korean War. In fact, I was in Korea during the Vietnam War and would have been, at the age of 8 years, the youngest soldier to ever fight in any war anywhere. Oh. So, no, I was not a veteran of the Korean War. But I did serve there for a year. I did.
So I'm sure it has been mentioned and debated for a long time. Which was better, the movie version of MASH or the TV version of MASH, which really, I guess, raised the bar to what was in the theaters?
Well, I don't, you know, you can't really compare it.
Because they're not the same characters.
They're not the same characters, different actors, except for a few people.
Right.
And, you know, the spirit of the movie mm-hmm. continued on and even grew with the TV show. Yeah. It was basically the same people writing. So, you know, you had to get used to Nurse Houlihan being somebody else.
Right, Loretta Swit.
Loretta Swit. Mm-hmm. And Alan Alda was new to the mix.
Right.
And quite a few others were brought in and out mm-hmm. as the, you know, I think the old major or whatever he was in both. As I recall.
That could have been. I don't remember. Now, see, with the television version of it, I always thought McLean Stevenson as the colonel
mm-hmm.
was classic. Harry Morgan.
That's
Harry, Harry Morgan and McLean Stevenson, they're two totally different personalities.
Well, Harry Morgan was great. And, mm-hmm. you know, he was on Dragnet going back to the 50s and 60s. He was on TV continuously forever mm-hmm. in one part or another. So he was an amazing guy.
Yeah, and any kids like listening him. Right now, you don't know what a Dragnet is. ask your parents.
Yeah, that's true.
Or grandparents.
You got anything else?
I don't, but I think you've got one more.
I have one more thing of note, and I'm sorry. I think I'm talking too much.
No, that's okay. Great stories.
Doc Severinsen recently played his final concert about 2 weekends ago, hanging up the old trumpet after a long and wonderful career. He wanted to be a trombone player originally, but his arms weren't long enough. It's true. So a neighbor convinced him to take up the trumpet, and he's been playing that instrument since the age of 9, if you can believe that. He's now well into his... Well, I'll tell you about that. He most famously led the Tonight Show band for Johnny Carson those many years until Carson retired mm-hmm. in 92, and then he continued to be active with orchestras and bands appearing all over the country and touring on his own with his own band. So at the age of 95, maybe he's thinking about a career change, do you think?
Well, I don't know. Doc Severinsen had a very quick wit.
He did.
Of course, you had to with Carson. And the outfits,
oh, yeah, the outfits
that he wore. Glenna would not let me out of the house if I tried to wear any of those coats.
Well, of course. She wouldn't let you in or out of the house.
She wouldn't let me bring it in the house. But what a talent.
He was flashy. He really was. And he actually was so clever that he took Ed McMahon's place frequently when Ed mm-hmm. went on a bender.
He was out feeding the Clydesdales,
That's it. And at least a few handful of times, he actually sat in for Carson himself behind the desk. So he was, it was something.
Yeah.
So anyway.
What a career.
It was.
To 95.
Yep.
All right. That's all we got. We do appreciate you listening to episode 49 of Two Larrys and a Mic. You can follow Two Larrys and a Mic wherever you download your podcast and share this podcast with someone by simply clicking on the share button. We have a new episode about every other week. Mm-hmm. Please join us next time for Two Larrys and a Mic. I'm Larry Doughty.
Larry Bly here.
And Mike is still working on that 12 o'clock flush / whistle.
He's just flushed.
We'll see you next time.